One thing I did was, I was always good, didn't you? Start off with a dictionary, Pali dictionary. It must be, it takes me a long time to look up. For some mysterious reason, their alphabet isn't in the same order as ours. I looked up a few words. I got as far as sukha. It's one of the definitions for sukha is longing for happiness. Sometimes we translate sukha as bliss. But longing for happiness, bringing happiness, giving pleasure, participating in happiness, agreeable, pleasant, successful, blessed. I rather like that. So it's, I was just looking up, trying to get a sense of what this happiness might be trying to indicate to me. So blessed, I really like that. But there's also sukha as a source of ease, even the soil of ease, and pleasant to associate with. And then a word which I hadn't come across before, sukhita, which means happy or blessed and glad. So it was lovely. So I was, you know, wandering around really trying to get a hang of what happiness is associated with. I also had a look in the Visuddhimagga, where there's quite a lot about sukha. Buddha Ghosha talks about the bliss is that which thoroughly uproots the ills of body and mind. Has a characteristic of being pleasant. If rapture is like a weary traveller who sees water or sees a shady wood, then this bliss, happiness, is the actual enjoying of the water or entering the forest shade. So it's got all this these associations with it. One who dwells in happiness has put away the five hindrances. A mind which lusts for many things through sense desire is not concentrated on one thing. And if it's overcome by sense of that desire, is not going to put it away and enter meditation. A mind harassed by ill will does not proceed at once, but hesitates and procrastinates. If it's overcome by sloth and torpor, that mind's unwieldy. And if it's struck by perplexity and doubt, it doesn't go forward on the path. But for one who has developed sukha, happiness, none of those hindrances are there. So, Brahma Viharas then, loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. So the sort of idea I've got in my mind is of these being the four doorways into this deeper level of stillness, happiness, and bliss. Doorways and protectors. So, you know, doors can be open, but they can also be shut. So a bit like a mandala with four doorways into it, and in the middle, perhaps, is this deeper level of happiness. Bhante calls them, he refers to them as the four great rational emotions. Which I always thought I liked that. So sort of juxtaposition of emotion with rational. You go, oh, rational because appropriate. They know how to respond appropriately. It gets back to what I was saying about if you have developed the ability to, the capacity for these Brahma Viharas, then whatever Vedana arises, you respond in the correct, the appropriate, the skillful way. So from that he gets the description of four great rational emotions. They're also called the four great catalysts of being. Maybe I should try and tell you what I was thinking about. It's the relationship between the Brahma Viharas and integration. Well, the first thing that occurred to me was that there's a sort of natural relationship. It seemed to be this kind of natural relationship between integration and positive emotion, mindfulness and metta, say. I mean, Viveka in her talks, I think it said at one point that she thought of them as being like two sides of the same coin. And I thought, yeah, I'd been thinking of them like that, but it's as if one can flow into the other and augment the other. So positive emotion can augment integration, concentration, and concentration can augment positive emotion. Concentration and integration give rise to happiness and joy. Satisfaction, isn't there? There's a kind of satisfaction that comes out of concentration. So it's sort of got the feel that it's natural. It's natural that that happens. Yeah, like two sides of one coin, or like two sheaths of corn supporting one another. And the experience of, I think that experience of mutual support, when I felt it, it has itself become an occasion for the rising of faith. It itself supports faith, because you see, you feel something happening like that. So faith in, I mean particularly faith in the effectiveness of what we're doing. And of course, well, in my case, it doesn't last. I don't know how long it lasts for you, but it doesn't last for me. It doesn't last, but then the fact that you know you've done something once, and you know what you did, means it can be done again. So yeah, perhaps that mutual support doesn't always last. But if you've done it once, you can have faith that you can make it happen again. So on the one hand, I've been thinking that there's this natural relatedness between concentration and, let's just say, metta. There's a word that you come across in descriptions of nidana chains, where, especially in the spiral one, although not only that, but the spiral one in particular, where one nidana is said to arise naturally. It's this word, dhammata. It arises naturally out of the previous one. And the little bit of looking into the meaning of the word that I've done would seem to indicate that it's associated with the fifth niyama. So it's about practice, it's about spiritual practice, and there's a certain naturalness that happens in it. One condition naturally gives rise to the next, which naturally gives rise to the next. And of course, if you're on a spiral, then that's cumulative and progressive. So if we have a sense, I suppose we have a sense of that happening between these two factors of integration, positive emotion. So the naturalness, the dhammata relationship, is where the one augments the other.